In today's Mishnah, we're on the third and fourth Mishnah from the second Perek of Masechet Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah begins: Elu Dvarim Shel Goyim Asurim. So certain things that belong to Goyim, to non-Jews, that are forbidden to Israel, to a Jew. And it's not only forbidden, for example, as food to consume, but also Isuron Isur Hanah. One's not allowed to derive any benefit from it. The first one listed is Hayayin, which refers to wine. Now, why is that? That is because wine that was used for Avodah Zarah purposes, in the part of the worship of Avodah Zarah, is like wine libations, that you're not allowed to derive any benefit from. And that's learned from the pasuk in Tehillim. It says, "Vitzmenu leBaal Peor," that they gathered to do this idol worship of Baal Peor. "Vayechlu zivchei metim," they concern the sacrifices is literally of the dead. The Chaim understand is just as a corpse, one is not allowed to derive any benefit, so too anything that's been used as part of the offering of Avodah Zarah as well. However, what about just wine in general? All that issue is stam yayin. Since we don't know if it was used for these wine libations for Avodah Zarah or not, Chachamim said it's forbidden to gain any benefit from it out of concern that it may have been used for Avodah Zarah. Mishnah continues, having mentioned the issue or the gzeirah of stam yayin, we'll learn various ramifications of it. The first is hachometz shel goyim shaya mitchilato yayin. So vinegar that was originally wine, so vinegarized, that belonged to a non-Jew as well, the Isur Anahar would still apply. Because since it was wine previously, Stam Yayin Zasur, despite the fact it's changed its form to become vinegar, still the Isur Anahar, the prohibition to derive any benefit, remains. The next one is Cheres Hadrianus. So Hadrian Caesar, Hadrianus Caesar, what they did in his army is they would make earthenware clay or pottery that was kneaded together or mixed with actually wine. And they'd take that with them to war. And when they wanted to drink wine, they would place these shards in water. It would dissolve, the clay would sink to the bottom, and then you'd be left at the top with diluted wine that was ready to drink. So this Cheres Hadrianus, it doesn't actually literally have to be from the army, but this way of making transportable wine, this Cheres would also be covered by this Gzer of Stam Yain. The next is Orot Levuvim. Orot Levuvim refers to hides that have a circle cut out where the heart is. What's the concern is because, again, another type of idol worship, what they would do is they'd cut out the heart from a live animal. And because of that, the way Tiferet Israel explains it is that despite the fact the rest of the animal wasn't necessarily offered, nonetheless, by being used, the animal, and as far as Avodah Zarah, because there's loy bak b'chad me'uma, because of the chumra of Avodah Zarah, makes the whole thing animal, even the hide itself would be asked to derive any benefits. So you wouldn't be able to purchase and enjoy such a hide. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, "Bizman sha keres shelo agul asur mashuch mutar." He says, "Well, it depends how the cut was. If there's a cut with a heart, if it's circular, then you know it was part of the process, part of this worship. If it was a long cut, then it just happens to be a cut there. It's not a siman, it's not a sign that it was for avodah zarah." Next, basar nichnas l'avodah zarah. Someone's bringing meat into a place of avodah zarah and is going to be used for worship, but it has not yet been offered, we say that it is mutar, one that is allowed to derive benefit. However, yotzeh basar that was on its way out from a makom avodah zarah, we say it's asur. Why? Because it's still covered by this prohibition of the pasuk, as we mentioned, cited before, of zivchei meitim. Because then it's already, despite the fact that it was brought in there, and it's always almost if it was hikdishu, they were already dedicated to be used as part of the tikrovet for the worship. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva regarding this last case. Ha'holchim l'tarput, if someone's going to a makom avodah zarah. Now Kahati explains that tarput is as in a turfa. It's a lashon gnai. It's a derogatory way of describing such a location. Rambam says it's like a filth. So if they're on their way there, one's not allowed to do any business with them, and that's similar to the concern we had when we first started the Masechet, that as a result of closing a deal, the person's going to go and use that as a motivation to praise there or drive them in their idol worship. If they're on the way back from their makom avodah zarah, one is allowed to engage in business with such individuals. Let's now learn Mishnah Dalet. Nodot hagoyim v'kankaneihem. He refers to these leather wine bags or their kankanim, their jugs that were made of earthenware that belongs to goyim, that would contain wine and milk and the like. And the concern is that it had wine in it. And it says, "V'yayin shel Yisrael kanus bahem." And a Jew used it and he stored wine in. Mishnah says, "Asurim v'isuran isur hana'a." Divrei Meir Mimra says, because there was wine absorbed in the walls of these kankanim or the nodot, and now it's come out of the walls and mixed with the wine, then it makes the whole thing asur, not only for consumption, also isur hana'a. Chachamim says, no, ein isuran isur hana'a. While the Chachamim do agree with the Remeir, that one would not be able to drink it, the isur hana'a does not apply. because they said that in this case it wasn't a be'ein mixture. I mean, it wasn't, we didn't have wine that was stam yain and Jewish wine that was literally poured and mixed together, but rather the stam yain was in the walls, and therefore the isur anah doesn't apply. Here, Batanura, Kati also mentions it here, if one wants to use them, how do they machshir these things? How do we, just not like metal, so it wasn't kalim used for cooking. So one understanding is what you simply do is you fill it up with water for 24 hours and empty it on a three days consecutively, and that would be enough to allow one to use these nodot and these kankanim, or if it was simply left for a year. Now don't get mixed up with the laws of kashrus in general and types of things that were used for cooking. That's a completely different discussion. Let's continue. Hachar tzanim v'hazagim shel goyim. This refers to the pips and the skins of grapes that were belonged to non-Jews. We say asurim, that still be asur, the isuran isurana. Now this is still covered. Great products are covered by this concern of stam yain. That's opinion divrei Rebbe Meir. Chachamim marim say that's true. However, that's only lachin asurim. If they're moist, that's when the asur to derive hana'af, any benefit from it. For example, the pips, you want to use them for planting. However, your shim, once they've dried out, then one will be even able to not just any dry benefit, but also able to eat it as well. And how long do you have to wait until it's considered dry? Kati cites the Gemara that says that would be a year. Next case is Hamurias Ugvinot Beit Unyaki Shel Goyim Asurim V'Isuran Isur Hana'a Divrei Rebbe Meir. So Murias here refers to this fish brine that had salt and something would add wine to it as well. Rebbe Meir says that brine would be Asur because, again, they would generally mix in this wine. And what is the Gvinot Beit Unyaki? So we're going to learn about this in more detail in tomorrow's Mishnah, so look about more about cheese. But here, they need an agent, a starting agent, to get the cheese or curdling process. So one way of doing that is to get the kava, which is the milk that has been somewhat digested already in a calf. The issue here is since in that place, Beit Unyaki, most of the calves were used for Avodah Zarah, therefore the whole animal would become asur, including the kava that was inside the animal, and if they use that as a starter agent for cheese, therefore he says, look, they're asur for consumption and forbidden for hana'a as well. Hachamim say no. Einusim isur hana'a, isur hana'a does not apply, so if you came into possession, you're able to sell it. However, you wouldn't be able to eat it. Why does he disagree in both cases? The first case with murias, well, if they're adding wine, it should be forbidden for hana'a. So the answer is they, he said they weren't added for flavoring, it was simply added lahavir tazuhuma, to sort of remove filth from it. So therefore, it's only asur ba'achila and not hana'a. Meaning he's not like a consumer, but he's allowed to derive benefit. What are the gvino beit unyaki? The chachamim understand that that wasn't really the case. Meaning they would also ma'amid, meaning use the cave from other animals as a starter agent. And therefore, it was really only the minority of cheeses that were manufactured in that such a location that came from animals that were used for Avodah Zarah. And therefore, they're not choshesh, they're not the concern for the miut, and you'd be able to enjoy the cheeses, according to Chachamim, from that location. However, Reb Meir says, no, they're choshesh, they're concerned. Reb Meir's opinion is that he was concerned in for the miut, and therefore, you wouldn't be able to either eat or derive benefit. Sorry, go back to the Chachamim, it's still forbidden to eat, but you would be able to derive benefit. Those are Mishnah today.